Are you having a good night? Are you enjoying it? Good. Three of you. Fantastic. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Ian. I'm one of the senior leaders in this church. And if you've never been here before, it's great to see you. Make yourself at home. Relax. And, you know, one of the things that we always wanted to do was we wanted to be a church that reaches out across Teesside. Whatever church you go to, wherever you are, we wanted to touch other people. So we're delighted to welcome people, whether you're in a church or you're in other churches. It's absolutely great to see you. And we've spent the last 3 or 4 weeks looking at one of the most pivotal parts of the Old Testament, which is the Ten Commandments that Moses received when he went up to a mountain and God spoke and gave him 10 specific commandments. There's many other laws, hundreds of them actually, but these 10 were pivotal and critical. And over the last few weeks, we've done the first 4. And at the first 4 are all about our love and worship of God. And God says to us, love me. There's only one God, me. Don't put anyone before me. Worship me. Don't take my name in vain, ever. Worship me. Make no idols before me, just me. And copy me. When I rest, you rest likewise. Copy me. It's good for you. And as we move into the 5th of those 10 commandments tonight, we start now to look at how we're meant to love each other. So the first 4 are looking upwards to him, and the rest of them from here on in are about our relationship with each other. And it's really important that we begin to focus on the horizontal relationships now around us. Because God said, here's the thing. You're going to be on this earth for a while with the other people that I've created. Best that I give you some rules that help you get along with people. And like I say, these 10 were the most pivotal. And number 5 is honor your father and mother. In fact, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says this. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your God has given you. And it's really funny, because as I'm preparing for this, one day, Carolyn was out, kids were at school, the one quiet day in the week, there I am sat at the kitchen table, which is the one place where I can really read the Bible without getting distracted. I'm sat in the middle preparing it, and the phone rings. I'm like, oh, who's this? So one morning I've got to get this before all other things take over. And I get the phone. It's me, Mam! I'm like, who's this? And my mum's on the phone. She says, hiya, son. I says, hiya, Mam. She went, I just wanted a phone number. And in my head, I'm like, I've got 2 hours to get this done and get out. But honour your father and mother. Don't you think God's got a sense of humour? I think he really has, but he plays me like a yo-yo, absolutely. And, you know, I just remembered that, you know. So I honoured her, and I got that number for her, gave her it. And she went, are you busy? I went, no, nothing on this morning. You're not disturbing anything at all. So, you know, but God kind of gave me a nice quick nudge in the side there. You know, in the Greek, which is important to understand, the word honour has several meanings. It's something that is valued, prized, something that you and I would hold in high esteem. High esteem. And if you take that further, that therefore means it's something that you would respect, something that you would submit to, and something that you would listen to. It's interesting, we sang that song tonight, didn't we? I surrender. But actually, in submission, there's a little bit of that in this honor. And it's God's commandment to us, not just to some of us, not just to guys, not just to ladies, not just about your father, not just about your mother. It's to us all, for them all. Here's one thing that we all have in common, a father and a mother. Biological fact. And the Bible says, honor your father and mother. So there's no catch, there's no exception, it's all of us and we're all included. But why? Why in this series of critical commandments does God tell us to honour our father and mother? Well, two main reasons. Number one, long life. The Lord says that your days may be prolonged. Do you want a long life? You can go to the gym. You can eat healthily. You can make sure that you get plenty of rest. But the Bible doesn't say any of those things. It does not say become a member of Bannatyne's and go four times a week. Though there's nothing wrong with that. It does not say eat 300 calories a day and lose 19 pounds in half an hour. But actually, there's nothing wrong with that. But it does say, if you want to prolong your life, honour your father and mother. In fact, it doesn't even do it that way. It says, honour your father and mother, and as a result, you will prolong your life. You know, I come from a family with a fabulous surname. We're called the Duffew family. And, I can imagine us on Catchphrase or something like that now. Family Fortunes, the Duffew family. And I've known Martin Ruddick for 8 years, and he still can't say my name right. However, the Duffew family has something quite bizarre and unique to it, which is our surname is spelt wrong. My Auntie Val, over there, has done some research on our family tree, and our name's spelt wrong. So our family is the only Duffew family in Britain, and anyone who's related to us with that spelt surname is very close to our bloodline. There aren't many Duffews on the planet. Sigh of relief, you say, but there aren't. There are very few people. And if your surname is spelt D-U-F-F-E-W, you are absolutely related to us very closely. Here's the thing about the Duffew family. We're of good stock. Very good stock, says my vocal father, sat at the back. Honour him, honour him, honour him, honour him, honour him. My father. And my gran, Mary Elizabeth Duffew, was an absolutely amazing woman. She survived two world wars. In fact, I think she would have been brilliant on the front. Because when she said something, you did it. She described herself as the matriarch of our family. And you know what? She was. She held our family together. Her husband, John, a man I never met because he died many years before I was born, died when she was only in her 50s, I think. I'm being corrected by my Auntie Val now, which is interesting. And she lived as a widow for as long as she lived married and single. You know, she lived many, many years as a widow. That woman was tough. She was absolutely incredible. Problems bounced off her. She was made of strong stuff. She was from good stock. And whenever she talked about her own mum and dad, she did so with respect and with honour. Here's the thing. I know nothing about my great-grandparents, her mum and dad. I don't know any of their foibles. I don't know any of their weaknesses. I don't know any of their strengths and successes. All I have is the image that she gave me of that couple. And boy, did she give me an honourable picture of that couple. And that wonderful lady died just 6 days short of her 102nd birthday. Honour your father and mother. You'll live a long life. And she's absolute evidence of it. Really funny story. The last day that I saw her, I was flying to Norway. Carolyn and I were going with Martin and Margaret on a look-see mission trip in Norway. And the night before we went, I went to see her in a nursing home. And she was very close to dying, just, you know, hours, a couple of days away, really. And she was kind of in and out of consciousness. And I went up to her and I said, I love you, Gran. I'll kiss you. I'll see you later. And I kissed her on the head. She woke up and she went, you will not see me. I'm a married woman. What a fantastic way to go. Telling your grandson off. She gets to heaven and she sees Peter. And Peter says, why are you so happy? I chastised my grandson just before I got here. It's healthy. Honour is healthy. She always spoke with honour about her parents. And if you honour your parents, you'll live a long life. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The second thing that it does is give you blessings. The Bible says, so that it may go well with you in the land God gives you. Not just well for you, but for everybody else as well. The more honor we give our parents, the more blessed we'll be. Let me say that again. The more honor we give our parents, the more blessed we will be. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "Hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Do you think they're wise words? Proverbs is full of one-line instructions that just make an awful lot of things a whole lot clearer. Hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to them. Take their advice. You know, I often ignored my dad. And I often found myself really irritated by the advice that he would give me. You see, I like driving fast. Always have done. Ever since I got my first car, a knackered gold 1.1 Fiesta for 600 quid, I just wanted to drive fast. And for years and years, that's what I did. I drove fast, dodging speed cameras, and always on the edge, wondering if I'd got caught. And in the car with my dad one day, I said, "Dad, do you know what? I'd really like to get closer to God." And randomly, he said, "If you really want to get closer to God, stop speeding." Don't you hate your mum and dad sometimes, eh? He said, "If you want to take a step closer to God, drive at the right speed limit." In fact, he's not the first person to give me that advice. Chris Dodsworth was the first. Chris Dodsworth came to me once when I'd just got another speeding ticket and said to me, "I've seen what your life looks like if you keep driving the way you're driving, and it isn't good. And all you have to do to avoid it is stick to the speed limit." That makes you think, doesn't it? But here I am in a car with my dad giving me very similar advice, but for a whole other reason, to get closer to God. And my dad said, "I tell you, if you do that, it is a step towards that happening." I ignored his advice and carried on doing all the things that I thought were right. And 3 months after that, I ended up with 9 points on my license. Just one speeding fine short of a 12-month ban. I'm an idiot, right? But that's how I drove. And in my job, I drive 30,000 miles a year all across the UK. It's just part of what I have to do. And if I haven't got a car and license, my business just goes down the plug hole. Simple as that. And so I panicked, really panicked. And I made a decision that night that I would take my father's advice. And from that night, I stuck my cruise control on my car at 70 miles an hour. And for 3.5 years now, I've never gone over that speed, ever, which is remarkable, really. But I have to tell you, it works. I find that I am half as stressed as I used to driving. I find that I'm way less nervous, far less aggressive, which means I've still got quite a long way to go on aggression, but far less aggressive than I used to be. Because my dad gave me some really good advice. And because I honored it and listened to it, my life has changed. Does that make sense? I think that's really, really interesting. But here's the thing. We might not always agree with our parents. In fact, for some of us out there, we might not have parents that are as switched on as I think my mum and dad are. But the Bible says, honor your mother and father. It's a very interesting commandment. I used to watch this series called Band of Brothers. Don't know if any of you have seen it. But in it, there's a guy called Captain Winters, who is like one of the heroes of this series. And at one point, he is below a guy who really bullies him and really does a job on him. And eventually, Winters gets promoted above him. And one day their paths meet. And this guy walks past Winters and ignores him. He couldn't stand him anyway. And now he's more senior than him. He's ignoring him. And as he's ignoring him, Winters says to him, Lieutenant. And the lieutenant stops. And he says, and he turns around and he says, salute the rank, not the person. And with all of the control that this guy had to muster, he stopped, looked at him, and saluted the rank. And Winters salutes him back, and they both go off in their own separate way. And in the same way, that is what God is saying here. Honor your father and mother means you salute the rank. You honor the position that they have, irrespective of what they've done or what they've said. Ricky.
Hello, church. Oh, I tell you what, I feel more nervous for this than I do before my fights. I was when we were leaving the house earlier, as soon as I stepped out the door, I said to Seagull, I was like, it feels like when I leave the house for a fight, this, I felt like I should have my bag with me. But anyway, the commandment that God given, it's pretty much repeated in Ephesians 6. It says, the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Now, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about what my life was like, basically, before I come to know God, honouring my parents, and basically how it changed when I didn't meet God. And I can't even tell any lies because my mum sat there. So, yeah, I always pretty much assumed that because I'm quite loving, like, over the top probably, if I meet someone, they're my friend, within, you know, a few weeks, I absolutely love them with all my heart, and I can't help it, and I'm quite a loving person, and I always thought that because I really love my family, that was honouring them. But it really, really wasn't. I had like a really bad temper, and when I was in the house with my mum and my little sister, just there wasn't a swear word that was off limits. You know, I wouldn't care. You know, I'd be in the house and I'd lose my temper and I'd be swearing and shouting, and it never even crossed my mind that I was not honouring her. You know, all the stuff she'd done, you know, bringing me up by herself and all the struggles that we went through. I just, you know, I should have been honouring her, but instead, whenever I didn't agree with something that she said, I'm just effing and blinding and all that. And sorry, Mum. alongside that as well, I didn't honour, not just didn't honour her, I didn't honour her house. You know, with the temper that I had, she'd tell me to do something and I'd flip out, and next thing you know, I'm punching holes in doors, and basically every door in our house, every single door had big holes in it on both sides, because I didn't honour my mum, didn't honour the house, I'd lose my temper and just go bananas, and you had to pay quite a lot of money to get all the doors redone in the house. It was just because of me, you know, not honouring her, not respecting her, and just being an idiot, really. When I got a little bit older as well, I'd start going out with my friends, and I'd be drinking and just being so stupid, you know, coming in all hours of the morning, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, not respecting my mum's house, you know, coming in and waking my sister up and waking my mum up, and, you know, I was just so disrespectful, so not honouring her, like, you know, like bringing girls back to my mum's house without, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous where I used to be like. And when I was downtown, I used to get in quite a few fights. And I remember one time I'd been in a fight on the Tuxedo Royale, this rubbish nightclub. And I remember coming home, and I was a mess basically. But you should have seen the other lad. And I remember like looking at myself in the mirror in the kitchen and seeing like all the blood all over myself and thinking, I can't let my mum see me like this. So like I snuck upstairs and I got my pillow and my blanket and I brought it downstairs. And I took the pillow cover off. I went to sleep in the front room. Then obviously fell asleep, and the next morning my mum comes downstairs. She opens the front room door, and I like half, obviously still hungover, like sat up. I just remember my mum looking at me with just shock. And I had like a really heavy head, and I was like, oh, it must be the hangover. And then I realised, and I was looking a little bit, the pillow was stuck to the back of my head with blood. And I looked at my mum's face, and she was just like, she was just horrified. And I was like, you know, I shouldn't be putting my mum through this sort of stuff. And that was all coming from a place of not honouring her. You know, if I did honour her, out there fighting, because I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings when she found out. I wouldn't have been coming back to the house in that sort of mess. And yeah, I was really not honouring her when I should have been. Now with my dad, he's not a Christian, and he's a great man. He really is. He's my best friend. He's a brilliant bloke. But like I say, with him not being a Christian, he's a brilliant bloke in a different way, not in a godly way. Now, I'd always wanted to be like him. All my life, I wanted to be like my dad. You know, he was a boxer, so I was a boxer. He went in the army, I went in the army, briefly. You know, he was a scaffolder, so I was a scaffolder. And I spent like 10 years just being a scaffolder, travelling around Britain with him, just basically trying to be like him. And I thought that's what I was doing. I thought I was honouring him by trying to be like him. But, you know, that wasn't honouring him. That was emulating him. And, you know, I was always, like, striving for his approval. You know, because he's, like, quite, what's the word? Like, you know, he doesn't take no rubbish, doesn't take a back step. If someone says something to him, he hasn't got a back step, and he's got two that go forward. So whenever we were working and a confrontation come up, I thought, well, you know what, I need to be like my dad here. So something had happened, and I'd be the same. I'd step straight forward into aggression, into bad language, into all these things, because I was trying to be like him, because I thought I was honouring him. And even like going back to the things with me swearing and stuff, I remember I was in the pub with him, and I must have only been about 16, 17 year old, with all the scaffolding mates, and I just started having a job as a labourer. And I'd never really sworn in front of my dad. I'd done it with my friends and stuff. And I was using like all your little Christian words, oh, flipping heck, sugar, and all this. And I think my dad must have been embarrassed, so he leaned over and he was like, listen, if you're going to swear, do it properly. You're in a pub full of scaffolders here, son. And I was like, oh, there you go, it's free game. So after that, in front of him, I was just absolutely ridiculous. But the things that I was doing when I thought I was trying to honour my dad made me into a person that I've had to spend a lot of years trying to get away from. You know, I thought I was honouring him by being like him, but I wasn't. Now, when I did come to God about 8 years ago, it taught me how when I was learning how to honour God, and, you know, spending time with him, being respectful, you know, knowing that the words come out of my mouth are a reflection of my relationship with him, that started giving me more of an inclination on how I'm supposed to be in my relationship with my earthly parents. Now, my relationship with God, it gets better all the time. From when I started coming to the Lord all them years ago to now, it's just progressed. And as that's happened, I've got closer to my earthly parents with it. And I remember when I was working on a job with my dad when I just become a Christian. And I think he was a little bit embarrassed, because obviously you've got all these big burly scaffolders all, you know, taking the mick out of each other, and you can't give them that much because you're going to get it otherwise. So I've come in, I've got a big cross on the side of my hat saying Jesus loves you, and I'm reading my Bible in the mess room and stuff. And I overheard one of the lads say something, and I heard my dad say, "Oh, it's just a phase." And I was a bit like, "Just a phase? Like, this is my life. You know, this isn't something that I'm doing. This is something that I am." And it hurt me a little bit, but, you know, all the time before that, when I was trying to get his approval, you know, he's always loved me, and he's always been encouraging, but he'd never really, you know, shown, you know, came over and, you know, give me that pat on the back that I'd always been wanting. You know what, son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of who you are. And I think that's because I was trying to be him. Now, since I've come to God and I've changed myself, and I've really strived to be a better person, a few years ago, I got a text off him. I can't remember word for word, but paraphrasing it was something like, you know, I just want to let you know that even though I don't believe what you believe, I'm so proud of the man you've become, and I wish I could be more like you. And when I read that, I was just like, flipping heck, like, you know, all I've tried to do is be like you, and I didn't get that pat on the back. And then I turned my focus, and, you know, and I use my relationship with God to, you know, basically mirror my relationship with him. And I get what I'd always been wanting. You know, I got that pat on the back that I tried. Sorry. Now, the line in this, it says, where's it gone? Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is first commandment, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life in the earth. And it talks in the one that Ian read about, in the land that the Lord has given you. Now, the land that the Lord gave me once I started honouring him was a much better land than I had when I wasn't. You know, when I wasn't, I was not very happy. I'd get short-term happiness. You know, I'd go out and I'd have a drink and I'd be happy. I'd go to the gym and I'd do some training. I'd be happy. And you know, I was looking for happiness in all these little places instead of, you know, stepping back and being happy no matter which place I was in. And I was going to check my notes so I don't mess it up. Yeah. Now, by honouring him, the land he's put me in, he's basically put me inside of an answered prayer. And I'm just eternally grateful to him. I remember a while ago, I was around Tony Granger's house, and I was just a mess. My life was absolutely upside down. Like, every single part of my life was just going down the pan. I remember being on his front room floor on my hands and knees, just sobbing into his carpet. Absolutely sobbing my heart out into his carpet about how I was feeling. You know, I couldn't tell my other mates because they wouldn't understand. I didn't want to tell my parents because I didn't want to upset them. And I was just so heartbroken, and I was crying my eyes out into his floor. And him and his wife Steph and Ben Falaja, they just laid hands on me, and they were praying over me. You know, you're gonna live a happy life. You're gonna have a wife. You're gonna have children. You're gonna have a job that you love. You're gonna be, you know. And they just spoke all this stuff over me, and that's what I'm living in now. By honouring God, that's the land he's put me in. You know, by honouring God, you know, teaching me how to honour my parents, that's the land he's put me in. Now, when I came to this church, I'd been trying. Well, that's it, trying, like, asking for years to try and get, you know, my mum, my dad, my sisters, my friends. I'd been trying so hard to get them to church, because it came to reality in me one day. I was sat in my room and I was thinking about, you know, like, what I've had to do, and, you know, thinking about what you do when you're saved. And then it hit me. It was just like a brick landing on my head. I was like, I'm going to be in heaven without my family. There's not one other Christian in my family. Like, I'm not going to be in heaven with my mum and my dad and my sisters. And it just ripped me a bit. It's like, it kind of tarnished it for me a little bit. Like, you know, it's supposed to be the thing that a Christian looks forward to most in the life, you know, being with the Lord, being in heaven. And don't get me wrong, I couldn't wait to go. And I was, it's the best feeling in the world for a Christian, knowing that you're going to be with the Lord. And then this little thought, you're going to be there, but you're going to be there, and you're not going to be with your family. And it absolutely tore me up. But when I did start living right, and when I started honouring my parents the same way I honoured God, it changed something. You know, they started looking at me as a person, and it started making them more curious. I remember when me and Siku got married, my mum, my dad, and my sister came over. And when we got back, I was talking to them, and they said, you know, seeing how you were over there and seeing how all the other Christian couples were and all this, it said, you know, we've seen it's something that we haven't got. You know, it's something that we want. And I was just like, that's what I should have been doing all this time. Instead of me going over them, oh, you should come to church, you should come to church, why don't you come to church? And, you know, every time I was doing it, it was like I had a stick in front of me, and every time I was walking towards them, the stick was pushing them away. You know, instead of just leaving it and talking to God and you know, letting him change my life. And that's what happened, and they started being more curious, and they started coming to church, and they started, you know, they both got Bibles, and they both done Route 61. And I remember I was a few rows from the back, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks into Route 61, and they did an altar call. You know, if anyone hasn't ever, you know, officially give their life to the Lord, will you just come forward now? And I looked and see my mum and sister going forward, and I was just absolutely. I couldn't even keep myself up. My friend Tom had to hold me up. I was absolutely just broken with happiness, you know. And that's what happens when you honour your mother and father. By honouring God, you honour your mother and father. It teaches you how to do it. And because of that, you know, I'm not going to be in heaven without my family. You know, I'm going to be there with my mum. I'm going to be there with my sister. I'm going to be there with my wife, my kids. And this is, you know, this is why God told us to do it. You know, God told us for a reason. He doesn't just say it because it's, you know, it's something that he wants to, you know, mouth off about and do what I say. He does it for a reason. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have the best things in life. And that's what happens when you honour your mum and dad. Yeah.
So you can come from two completely different backgrounds, but if you end up in that place of honouring your parents, good things will happen to you. So if it's from your side, which is you honouring your parents, that seems fairly straightforward to me if you listen to those two different stories. But here's the curveball. What if they've really hurt you? What do you do when honouring your parents just feels like the most foreign thing to do when you consider what they've done in your life? I mean, I was very fortunate. I have an awesome mum and dad that brought me up right. And I don't have a problem saying that, you know. I'm proud of that fact, that they brought me up right. I've not got a single gripe with them, other than this one story. My dad being the evangelist that he is. we always used to ring each other up and make prank phone calls to our mates when we were like 12, 13. And someone rang up, a guy called Gus rang up one day and said, and my dad and I answered the phone, and he starts saying all this daft stuff down the phone. I can't even remember what it was now. And I thought, oh, it's a prank phone caller. And my dad went, who's that? And I went, I don't know. And I give the phone to my dad. And as I handed the phone to my dad, I realized it was one of the lads from school, but it was too late. I'd given him the phone. And my dad went, hello? And this guy gave my dad a whole load of abuse down the phone. And my dad went, that's really interesting. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And the lad went, you are? He went, Jesus loves you. And 2,000 years ago, he died so that if you believe in him, you can go to heaven and have eternal life. And I heard Gus on the other end of the phone go, ah! And he put the phone down. It was a Sunday afternoon. I thought, oh, I am dead meat at school tomorrow. Went to school the next day, late, just before the bell rang in the yard. And I'm in the yard, and I looked around. No Gus. And Gus's best mate was a guy called Roy. And I thought, oh, no. So I couldn't see Gus anywhere, and I thought, I've got away with it. He's not doing anything about it. And as it stood in a circle of lads just talking about football and anything like that, this hand comes on my shoulder, and I turn round, and it's Roy. And he went, so Jesus loves Gus. 2 weeks that lasted. 2 weeks, Dad. But I love you, and I honour you. My dad's awesome, but he's not God. My dad's awesome, nor is he Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And as awesome as he is, and he really is awesome, I have to tell you that as a kid, my dad wasn't always there. Not because he did anything wrong, but because he worked night shift at ICI. And as a little boy, a lot of my memories of my dad growing up are of me in my dressing gown after a bath, waving him off in the car at night to go to work. And a lot of my other memories are of my mum going, shh, don't wake your dad up. Because he's on nights. And it's not his fault, nor do I have any issue with the fact that he was on those nights. But to me, my dad was just a bit distant as a result of that. In fact, a lot of people have an absent parent. My dad was absent legitimately for a few years of my young life. And it stayed with me for a while, the fact that he wasn't. And my mum had to bring us up, not quite like Ricky's story, but my mum had to bring us up while my dad was at work. Because when he was at work, he wasn't at home. And when he was at home, he was asleep in bed. That's what happens when you work long shifts. And so for me, my dad was absent. Maybe your dad was absent. So when I say, or Ricky says, honor your mum and dad, your logical response might be, you mean honor a person that's not even in my life? You know, Paul King, who's another leader in this church, tells the story of his mum dropping, his dad dropping his mum off at the maternity ward when she was pregnant with him and vanishing. And for many years, Paul never had that man in his life. That's an absent father, isn't it? A distant, absent father. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've had a passive mother or father. You know, they're there, but they're just not in your life. In fact, passive mothers and fathers can be so consumed with their own lives and what's going on and the pressures on them that they can barely give you a moment. And when you talk about honouring your mother and father, you might sit there and say, but my mum or dad was hardly involved in my life. How does that work? You know, some parents are performance-driven. You know, Ricky said, I was always looking for approval. I don't know whether his dad wanted that approval or whether Ricky had just made that up in his own mind that that's the way he was going to get to his dad. But some parents are all performance-driven. You know, I know some parents that are all performance-driven. My sons are in junior football teams. And I tell you what, when you stand on the sideline and you see some parents, you know the ones that give us stuff and those that don't. Because the ones that don't are chilled and relaxed. And the ones that do are these mega stress heads shouting and screaming at their own kids. 6 and 7 year old in fear of kicking the ball in case they kick it wrong because the mum and dad's going to go absolutely mental. And I've learnt this. The mothers are as bad as the fathers at that. But what if you were brought up like that? I've known some kids that have been brought up in a performance-driven family. In fact, Stuart Bray, another leader here, another leader here, Stuart Bray, tells the story of his military-style father who used to walk quickly, and Stuart used to have to march just to keep up with him. Because his dad was a performance-driven dad, and Stuart's memories are of his dad either looking at him with disappointment or telling him he was disappointed. Interestingly enough, towards the end of Stuart's dad's life, his dad said to Stuart, "Was I hard on you, son?" I think something broke there with Stuart's dad. But maybe that's you. Or maybe your father was just this authoritarian, or your mother was this authoritarian control freak. You know, my mum tells a story of dinner time with everyone round the table and a belt. And woe betide anyone who stepped out of line. How would you honour your mother and father when you've been brought up in that kind of environment? Maybe you had an abusive parent. I'm not going to go into the detail of that. But that must be nigh on impossible. How do you honour your mother and father if they've put you through that kind of pain, that kind of torture, all those years? And what about a mother or father that has favourites? How do you cope when mum or dad always saw them as slightly above you, a little bit more special than you, slightly more time for them than you, not necessarily as bothered about your successes or failures as they were your older brother or your younger sister? How do you deal with that? Well, it's very interesting because the Bible is very clear on all of that. It says, honour your father and mother. Isn't that interesting? And so for some of us tonight, the step to honour might actually need a step before that. And that step is called forgiveness. I was moved several years ago when Carolyn and I went to a church in Winchester, and a girl from South Africa got up and told a story about how she and her father had fallen out years and years before. He still lived in South Africa. She was in England, and they hadn't spoken for years. And it was at the point where if she ever rang home to South Africa and he answered the phone, she would say just one word and he would put the phone down and go and tell his wife, "Your daughter's on the phone." He wouldn't speak to her. He had blanked her out in his life. They had no relationship at all. And she'd just recently gotten married and just recently had a child. And when that happens, you want your parents involved, right? You want them to share in your joy, share in this amazing experience. And she was desperately unhappy. that she had no relationship with her dad. And so one day she got down on her knees and prayed to God and forgave her father for years of mind games and torture and making her feel this big and all those other things, some of those other things that I mentioned. And she left it with God. She left the whole mess with him. And a few days later, she felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to ring South Africa, to ring home. And she rang home, and a dad answered the phone. And she went, "Hi, Dad." He went, "Oh, hello." He went, "Do you want me to get your mum?" She went, "No, I want to speak to you." And she had a 10-minute conversation with her dad on the phone. And she went on to say, this girl, that later that year, her whole family were flying back to South Africa to see her mum and dad. Is that awesome? Years of pain, years of mess, years of shame, all because she chose to forgive her dad. And I wonder tonight whether there are a few people in here that need to forgive their mum or dad. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I've got an awesome mum and dad, and other than that incident with Gus, me and my dad are on good terms now. But maybe that isn't you. And maybe it's even wrong for me to make it like a light-hearted thing. Actually, for you, it's very, very serious, this. So forgive me if I was a bit jokey there. Because for you, that might not be the case at all. For you, it ruined you. For you, your mum or dad, the way they treat you devastated you. And to go to honour, there's a step before that first, which is forgiveness. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that tonight, just in your seat, where you sit. Or maybe, just by listening, particularly to Ricky tonight, maybe it smacks you in the face that you're not that honourable about your own parents. Maybe your parents aren't here anymore. Maybe your parents have passed on. But it still hits you that you weren't and haven't been that honourable. Well, you can repent anytime. You can say sorry anytime.